you presumed that you had the presumption of innocence. But this is the news, according to me. And my sound didn't go off. So it's the news. Let's try it again, according to me. You'd think this was Monday, the way things are going. It's already 7:38. I got up at 6 a.m. What have I been doing with my life? I got this warning that my mouse battery is getting low. I didn't know my mice had batteries. Explains where my batteries are going to be going. Oh, good morning, folks. It is Wednesday morning, February 15th, 7:38 a.m., 2023. And this is the news, according to me. That's what it is. I have a cup this morning, and I'll tell you what, I have two cups. I still have the backup cup, and I still have not, during the show, I've never made it to my backup cup yet this month, or this week. But I will be. I'm going to get to my backup cup because today is going to be a little bit longer show. I have a little bit more ammo now today. I'd like to talk a little bit about a few things. One is the mouse in my battery. I'm going to talk about that. But the Nikki Haley, as well as a guy fellow by the name of George Allen Kelly. I'm going to talk about those two guys. Especially the case with George Allen Kelly, because there's some correlation there. Now there's also we'll get an update a little bit on the train incident, some of the things that are coming out about that, as well as possibly talk about Turkey a little bit, Turkey and Syria with the earthquake. But so far, first of all, let me get to this first thing. This is just there's a little channel called Memeology. Memeology 101, I think it's called. And they usually have these little 1 minute, 2 minute things, and they're not always very. I'm not recommending the channel. It's sometimes they're vulgar, but in this case, they point out some interesting things. It's video memes, is what it is. So I'm going to play this little video meme. This is courtesy of Memeology, and I'll explain more. This is Karine Jean-Pierre and Oliver. Excellent communication skills and wisdom. Communicating, this reporter is asking her about the numbers just came out today and they were horrible. And she addresses his concerns. She does an excellent job addressing every single concern this man has. Let's listen in here on what we got going on.
Numbers came out today that show a monthly decline in real wages as well as an annual decline in real wages. Administration officials have said growing real wages is an important marker for the economy. How do you view the setback in today's numbers?
So a couple of things. I do want to say that what we have said many times is that we believe that the president's economic plan is indeed working, and it's giving people a little breathing room. You heard me say this at the top, how we have seen the plan actually working. We're seeing inflation moderate just a bit, as we've seen the last couple of months, and that is important.
The reporter just, there's words on the screen here. The reporter just told her a few seconds ago that the real wages are down according to today's report. That's what's being put up on the screen. Now, if you could see her, she's going to hurt her neck at some point. And she still has the audacity to claim that their economic plan is working. That's the rest. Yeah, there we go. To look at her body language during this whole thing is, that's really the spooky kind of scary part about it. There's something called the believe me look. I call it the believe me look. And some people in the body language world call it that. And it's also in the vocal world as well. When you say something, you're saying something that you're trying to get someone to believe me or trying to encourage them. What you'll do is you'll look at them as you're saying something and you'll nod your head. As you're looking, the only time you get them eye contact, you're nodding your head, hoping that they will mirror what you're doing, and they're going to nod along with you to get you to agree. It actually physically, the physical action of nodding your head up and down. By the way, when did this change? I've noticed that a lot of reports, speaking of nodding your head, nodding is when you nod off. Like let's say you're really sleepy and your head nods. It's like it bounces up and down. Doesn't bounce side to side. Side to side is shaking. When a dog shakes itself off, it's shaking side to side. It's shaking its head, its body. When you put your head back and forth like a no position. It's you shake your head no, and you nod your head up and down, yes. I have heard this reported many times incorrectly, much like saying especially, which is, I think there's a special place in hell where you're surrounded by people who say especially. And other they just mispronounce words all day long. They just say things wrong. I hear people, I hear intelligent people on the radio say that all the time, especially when you're, where do you get it? It's, look at the spelling. Just go phonetic on it, okay? Just look at it. Yeah. That's not the way it's pronounced, okay? There's two words, I can't think of the other one right now, that really drive me nuts when people say it the way they do. Of course, there's all the other phonetical kind of ways people say things. But okay, so back to this whole thing with Corrine. She's nodding her head up and down. It's this believe me look. She's not shaking her head up and down. She's nodding it up and down. And then when she does look down at her notes, she doesn't want, her eyes are twitching at a million miles an hour. This is someone who's fishing deeply inside themselves to try to come up with some words to say. And they don't believe anything they're saying. So on the one hand, they're giving you this believe me thing. Can you believe what I'm making up right now? And then we believe the president's plan is working. Well, inflation hasn't increased, so to speak. It's not getting worse, but the problem is it's continuing. So the inflation rate isn't exponentially increasing, but it's still increasing. The inflation rate itself is at 6.4%, according to the last numbers, probably higher than that. That's just core inflation. That's not regular inflation. Go to the grocery store and buy yourself some groceries, see what that. But so the inflation rate is still extremely high, considering it was less than 2% almost all the way through the pandemic. Well, the last 7 months we're getting it down. We're getting it figured out. It's been during the time you were we inherited all this. But no, you've been president for 2 years. Inflation didn't really start until, guess what? You took office and you started implementing all these policies, and energy is at the core of it. Now we're back begging from everybody else on the planet for their oil. Of course, when they all run out and they see us with the only people who is the only country that has oil, well, guess what? Their survival will depend on them taking us out. We become that big, fat, juicy apple in the middle of a desert that everybody wants to eat. So, I'm just my theory. I don't know, just a thought. Anyway, that's the kind of thing we're up against right now. Now, at the moment, I've got my mouse is plugged in. I have no way to manipulate anything. I can't shut the show off at all. In case you're wondering. Now, I am in the home office this morning. Yesterday I did my show from my iPad in my kitchen, just to do something different. Today's show is, of course, brought to you by the home office here, which is soon to be changed. I'm literally within the next 2 weeks, I have to get this changed, and I'm going to be home for a couple weeks, so I got to get it done. Many, many things that need to be done here. I believe that there are some issues that we need to discuss. One is apparently what's in my cup. It's getting boring now. I'm sure it is. I've got vanilla chai with vanilla creamer for my vanilla life. I have sweet tea that's homemade, and I can't believe how fast I have drank almost a gallon of sweet tea. I think I made it over the weekend. and it's not going to make it to next weekend. It's I have a whole gallon, and I'm almost through it. Now, granted, the first day I made it, it was really good, and I mixed it up with some peach tea, and I was trying all kinds. I did drink a lot on the first day of sweet tea. I drank a lot of sweet tea on the first day I made it, because it had been a while since I'd had any. Believe it or not, been at least 24 hours. So I had to drink a bunch of it. So I have some of that here with me today. In fact, I'm just going to take a sip of it just to kind of give you an idea. Just that way, those of you listening at home. That way you can envy me, because that's really important. Of course, now I also have this good cup of chai here. Oh, that's good. That's good too. It's creamy. Wow. President Trump now is shaking in his shoes because he has an opponent to the presidential race. I can't do it. I can't keep a straight face. I can't. Oh my. Nikki Haley. Miss Nikki Haley, the woman who talks with her jaws tightly clenched all the time because she's not sure what she's... There's something wrong with her, okay? There's something psychologically wrong with Nikki Haley. I don't know what it is. She talks with her mouth clenched very close. She doesn't really move her mouth. Maybe she's got a physical problem. I don't know. I don't want to make fun of her if she does. But if she doesn't have a physical problem, I want to make fun of her. I don't understand how or why or when anybody, if she really thinks that she's going to pull this off. Now, I understand President Trump apparently posted something last week about Ron DeSantis when he was in college or something. He'd doing something crazy. I don't know. It posted like a picture of him doing some crazy stuff or something. I don't know what it was, but that doesn't work. It's you know, all's fair in love and war and politics, but it's going to make it really entertaining, I think. Now I have a feeling that DeSantis, you know, we'll get into some things that DeSantis that's happening down there in Florida, with DeSantis as governor and some things that are happening. I have a feeling DeSantis is willing to step out of the race this time around and get into it next time, because it's only going to be another 4 years. He's really getting his stride as governor down in Florida. Saw a recent headline. It was by MSNBC. And they were saying that the states that will be the areas in the country that will be most affected by climate change. And why are people moving there? One of the things that is supposed to happen is Florida is supposed to be underwater. But the population in Florida is just booming, and people are moving down like crazy. As well as Texas, some areas in Texas where people are moving. And they can't figure out why people are moving there. Why do they care? If Florida and Texas are going to be wiped out by global warming, then and all the Republicans and conservatives are moving there because of the freedom that they have there. Then what do they care? They're just going to get wiped out. The Mother Nature will take care of them for them. They'll be in great shape. Yeah. Anyway, Nikki Haley running for president now. She's officially announced, I guess. I haven't heard the recordings because it's nowhere on the news. It was because we're too busy shooting down balloons, which again is just a distraction. It's this convenient way of, in fact, even Snowden has weighed in on this whole thing. People in the know and understand how the political theater operates. They drum up this thing and they're saying, oh, the American people shouldn't be scared. Well, we're not scared. It's a balloon. Okay. We're not scared. I get so tired of politicians saying the American people are scared. They're terrified. They're not sure if they should be scared of this or not. Apparently, you don't understand the America that I know. The America that I came from, that I was raised in, that I've been a part of all my life, and the part of that I am a part of, it's the land of the free and the home of the scared of balloons. No. It's the home of the brave. We aren't scared by a balloon. Speaking of which, the men who went up there and shot the thing down had a lot of courage, really. They're the courageous ones, that ones that went out there in the water to pull this thing out of the water. Off the coast there. They don't know what was in this thing. I mean, there could be a booby trap on that thing. There could be some kind of biological agent that they put on it to keep people from touching it. You never know what these wackos from the CCP are capable of. So these people have a, you have to understand, the CCP thinks that they're going to take over the world. They think that their system, they literally want to take over the world. Economically, they want to control all commerce. And they want to sit at the top of this whole piggy pile. That's where they're at. That's their setup. Xi Jinping is the guy sitting at the top of this whole thing. He's not even sitting at the top of it. Believe it or not, he's got people controlling him, but he's, because they have the oligarchs there as well. But he makes or breaks people as far as their ability to make money. So there are a lot of millionaires in China, but Xi controls them all. Ping. Dictator Ping, who has elected himself now as the forever president or whatever. People on the left are unhinged. Unhinged, out of control, emotionally unstable, delusional, and deranged. And it all comes from Trump. They are still involved. They're still wrapped up in the whole idea of keeping the Trump narrative out there. They've created a monster in their own mind, and I think they're actually, that's why they're scared. They actually are the people who are afraid. They've got themselves worked into a tizzy with this whole thing. It's unbelievable. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, so I wanted to just mention the Nikki Haley thing because, you know, yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's funny that it didn't even get any news press conference. It did nothing. Kind of like all you heard was, I don't know, but one of these has a chirpy thing. Where is it? That one? No, that's not that one. No, not that one. No, stop that. It's just not, I don't want to hear that. Go away. It's still, they're still clipping. There we go. That would be suitable, actually.
Good morning.
That's Sunday Nancy. Morning. Yeah, there you go. Here comes Nikki Haley. That was about it. So we had, so Nikki Haley decided to run for office now for president. This is going to be real interesting. Not. So we have George Allen Kelly. George Allen Kelly. Let me tell you a story about George Allen Kelly and the story that the news media is putting out there and the real story that's actually happening here. Because the difference is, there is a political, this kind of stuff does kind of scare me a little bit. Because of the way they're coming after individuals like this right now. They're going to start coming after groups. They've already pretty much pinpointed that the FBI has now put in place that Catholics who are devout Catholics who practice with the rosary are a threat to the country. This is the kind of stuff that we have got to be careful of here. It is quite dangerous for them to be going down this road, by the way. I'm going to play with my, I have to mess with my settings here on my, where are we at here? No, that's not what I wanted to do. Where does it go? Where do we go here with this? There we are. Channels, advanced. Audio. There we are. Processing. Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. All right, we'll just go back over here then. Operations. Okay. Well, I can't do anything with that. All right. Sorry for this. That's a little brief, the brief interlude on this. Oops. There we go. I think you can still hear me. The, you know, the interesting part about all this is how the legal system is working down. It's this guy, okay, the story that you've probably heard in the news is that rancher shoots border crossing immigrants on his property, shot and killed a migrant. He's being charged with murder. That's about the extent of the story you're going to get from them. That's the impression they want to put across to you. Now, there's obviously some people working on the border that are high ups in the management who have an agenda. And here's what's happening here. The story, according to George Allen Kelly, first of all, I don't always trust people who you have to use three names to say who they are. Most of the people who go by three names are serial killers. They kill cereal. I killed a bowl of cereal this morning, by the way. But I don't use my three names to describe myself when I introduce myself. It's kind of weird. Some people do that. I don't know what that is about them. But you look back at all those serial killers that have been out there. John Wayne Gacy, whatever his name. What's the other guy's name? Ted something Bundy, whatever it is. Yeah, it's more often than not, these people turn out to be psychos. But this guy's not a psycho. I'm not saying this guy's a psycho. This guy's an upstanding citizen who's been married for like 60 years. Or 50 some years, worked for the park department for many, many years in Montana, started a business in Montana, wanted to be a veterinarian when he was younger, the whole thing. I mean, just the typical American story, where, you know, worked all of his life, saved up a whole bunch of money, finally bought a little ranch down in Arizona where he was going to semi-retire, live on Social Security, and just, you know, kind of take care of the animals and the land. He's kind of he's what you call land rich and money poor, which is, you know, it's kind of typical. When people retire, they kind of settle in, live on what they've got, and just kind of live out the rest of their years, kind of just enjoying every day. That's what this guy's doing. But of course, down there on the border, where he's close to where he's at in Arizona, he's kind of in a remote area, and what happens is people come across his property all the time. People who are coming across there from, you know, the migrants that are trying to, people are trying to sneak in the border. Unfortunately, right now, what we're not being told about very much is the fact that there's a lot of criminal activity coming across the border. Not only do you have the coyotes, those who are escorting these illegal immigrants across the border they're paying dearly. Some of the Chinese are saying that they're paying anywhere between $30,000 and $60,000 a piece to get across the border. Some of the foreign nationals that are coming from other countries. And you just got regular migrants and workers that are coming across trying to get work. And it's at the same time, you know, we're shooting down balloons from other countries, we're taking our own balloons down, by the way. We had these surveillance balloons that they would put up once in a while. I think they'd go up like 2,000 feet. And they had all kinds of infrared cameras and sensors and stuff on them. They were tethered, so they would raise these things up. They could get a complete view of a huge stretch of land, and they would have these, I think they had six or seven of them stretched out across the border down in Texas, across the border in other areas as well. And they were able to see large remote areas without having to patrol them. And of course, they're decommissioning those now. Biden just signed a bill, I guess, to decommission those and take them out of action. There might be one I think they're going to keep or something. I can't remember what it is. Talk about efficiency. These things are hugely efficient. I know that they require maintenance and all that, but the alternative costs a lot more money. So they want to have a virtual fence. The problem with a virtual fence is it requires more than virtual stuff. It's, you know, the virtual fence can go down, power goes out, the legislation changes. See, a permanent fence, the permanent wall that Trump wanted to build, that the initial Congress, he had Congress the first 2 years of his presidency. They didn't have the moral fortitude to take care of the wall then, to fund it. They didn't do it. Most of them retired. Most of them left office. They got out of there. They didn't want to fund the wall. They could have. And now we have this mess. And I blame them. They had the opportunity. They saw the problem then. They knew where this was going, and they did nothing. Nothing. And now we have who knows who is coming across our border now. Now, of course, if a Republican takes office now in 2024, and we find out we've got terrorist cells all over this country, because they've been coming across our border, the left will blame whoever is in office when the attacks start happening. And I guarantee you it can be traced back to what happened during this administration. But the media will never admit to that. They will just blame, if Trump is in office especially, they'll blame Trump or DeSantis or Haley or whoever it is that takes over the presidency in 2024. Because I tell you what, the Democrats, they are doomed if they can't pull off their normal ballot harvesting scam again. I'm not saying there's anything illegal with the ballot harvesting. In most cases, there is. It's not legal to do it the way they're doing it. In some states, they're actually legalizing ballot harvesting because they know it's the only way they can continue to win. I just got something coming across the wire here. It's a little meme. This is pretty funny. I'll just read this to you. Guy sitting on the beach, looking out over the water, pondering. You just can tell he's just, you know, there having a moment of reflection. Wondering how I can get my wife the perfect Valentine's gift when she already has me. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Where was I going with that? I don't remember what I was talking about. This is terrible. I need to take some more chai here. I was on a good thread there for a second. I don't remember what it was. So now I'm lost. So no matter who takes over in 2024, which they're, you know, if they can't get this ballot harvesting thing done, they are going to be I'm all choked up now. I need to take a sip of tea here just to make sure I can. There we go. That's much better. All right. They will blame whoever's coming across the border right now. And I blame the Republicans for this. I blame those rhinos, the never Trumpers, who stood in the way of closing down the wall. Now they would never admit to, well, we should have built the wall when we had the chance. You'll never hear them come out and say that. They will never say that. And yet, all they're doing right now is blaming the current administration for the problems we're having right now. Well, guess what? If that wall would have been built, 90% of what is coming across the board right now. Wouldn't be coming across the border. And a lot of it is, the problem is we got fentanyl. We've got, there was a flight attendant that came through security recently. There was an issue with a backpack. They were random searched and something happened, and come to find out, they had several pounds of fentanyl that they were scooting around the country. Now, here's part of the problem here is flight attendants don't get paid very much money. Somebody comes up and offers you $20,000 or $60,000 or $100,000 to take a bag of something across the border. Maybe it was just $5,000. To transport something like that, and you're not making, you know, that's a month's wages for you. Or more. You're really tempted. So that's what's happening here, folks. We get, of course, they get people in there to be flight attendants, and they give them all this song and dance about, oh, it's a glamorous life, and you'll have all these travel benefits. You can travel the world and meet the man of your dreams or woman of your dream, whatever. Of your dreams. It's just a wonderful life. So glamorous. Twinkly. And they find out they can't, you know, so they get out there and they start spending. For many of them, it's their first real job. And they get out there and they start racking up credit card debt. Because, of course, they get all, you know, they get this job now. The credit card companies throw themselves at them. Start spending all kinds of money with their credit cards. And they get another offer for another credit card, and they can pay off their other remaining balance, interest-free. Well, sure, I'll get this other credit card, pay off my balance on the other one. Well, now I get this other credit card. It's still a good credit card. They just rack that one up too. And then another credit card comes along, and they're willing to wipe out all their other credit cards. And the next thing you know, you got three credit cards, four credit cards, all of them maxed out, and you have no way of paying it back ever. A guy comes along and says, hey, want $50,000 for all this bag across the border? Okay. Pay off my credit cards. So she gets caught. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. I don't know. This flight attendant gets caught. And now, of course, that's changed everything. I don't know how I got down this track. I don't know, but stuff's coming across the border like crazy. So most of the activity that happens across the border now, I mean, the migrants are basically just walking through. They're walking up to the regular border areas and just saying, hey, I want asylum. Okay, come on in. We'll just process you here. And you're not entering illegally now, because now you're an asylum seeker. Even though you were supposed to stop in Mexico at an embassy there for asylum. Since you're here, we're just going to go ahead and take you in and process you. Here's a little card and a cell phone and some money. And here's some transportation to somewhere in a red state. And we'll get back with you in a couple of years after the voting cycle or after we give you amnesty. That's what's happening here. And that we get, so the people who are coming across the border typically are trampling in areas that are remote are the coyotes, the fentanyl, the drug dealers. They are rapidly just coming across. And the nefarious people who are on the, you know, terrorist watch list, which we've apprehended over 200 of them that we know of. There's a lot more of them on the terrorist watch list. Actually, one of the most scary things to me, too, in what's happening with our government is the no-fly list. We have no idea who's on that. There's no way of looking at it. Who's on the no-fly list. Can I just go look up and see who's on the no-fly list? Now, recently it was leaked. Who is on it? I'm surprised I'm not on it. And what's funny about that, or what's interesting about that, is that I'm a pilot. Which means, you know, how do you do that? But I, you know, I digress. I just the mere fact that I've got this podcast, I would think would make, put me on some kind of list somewhere. They're probably listening to everything I say, probably bored out of their skulls. Well, the guy's, you know, crazy, but he's not crazy, crazy. He's just boring, boring, crazy. He's driving me crazy. So we got this stuff going on. George Allen Kelly has a little ranch down there, and he's got people coming across his property all the time, which concerns him. So of course he has a rifle. He's got to protect he's got horses, he's got cattle, and he's concerned about his animals because he's in a desert where there's some, you know, not only are there animals that come after his animals, wild animals, but there's also, you know, the drug lords and the people who have guns who don't care about human life whatsoever. They just come across to kill anybody they want to. They're basically gangs and drug cartels. So he's out at his house. He goes to have lunch with his wife. And he comes in off the ranch, comes back, has lunch with his wife, gets ready to go back out, and he realizes he sees people out in the, in like a wooded area, not really woods there, but it's just kind of a, out in the area there where he was. And they have guns. It looks like AK-47s or AR-15, something, some kind of tactical gear. They're walking around out there, and he's not sure who they are. He thinks this is probably some kind of drug activity. He hears a gunshot, and that's what actually got his attention initially. He hears a gunshot. Well, he goes out on his porch with his rifle, tells his wife to go downstairs, or where, you know, she'd keep herself safe. And he goes out on the porch. Next thing he knows, he sees one of these guys pointing an AR-15 at him, or we guess some kind of a rifle at him. He takes his rifle and shoots above their heads. I don't know how many shots he took. He shot several shots as warning shots. Didn't shoot at anyone. The men in this group took off, went running. Later that night, that evening, it was getting dark. Just at sunset, he's back at the house. He's going to go out back out and check on his horses because he was concerned about his horses. He wasn't sure if they were trying to steal his horses, what was going on with them. He thought maybe one of them got hurt in the process of all this stuff. He wanted to double check the horses and make sure they were okay. Went back out to the barn, noticed his dogs were very fixed on something, and they kept looking at something, and they thought like they could smell something or saw something. So he went off in the direction where they were kind of interested in, and he found a dead body. Now, we're not told anything. Now, I would have taken some pictures right away. I wouldn't have necessarily touched the man or anything, you know, other than to find out for sure if he was dead or not. This is where it gets really tricky. And this is where it gets really spooky and scary to me because of what the government did. He reports right away. He reports this to the authorities. I found there's a man dead here. He was shot one single shot. Now, I don't believe he had a backpack on. He did have some, like, they call it tactical boots. I don't know why they don't call them assault boots. Because you've ever been assaulted by a boot, it's not fun. He's laying there and he's dead. And the next thing you know, the authorities are, I think the next day, so I understand that the Now, he called the authorities when this happened. He told them about it. The authorities came out earlier in the day when he told them what had happened. The authorities came out and took the report, and they left. This was later in the evening he reported finding this dead body. The next day, they come and arrest him for murder. Now, they put him in jail. They give him a $1 million bond, which basically is, there's a couple different degrees. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a tax attorney. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not an epidemiologist, or I'm not a doctor or lawyer, physician. This guy, I know there's a couple different ways that you can detain someone. One is just no bail whatsoever. One is an extremely high bail that nobody can overcome. So it's just kind of one of those you can't. And the whole reason for the bail is to keep somebody from running so they won't run away. And so they'll show up to the court hearing. So then the other one is just like very minimal bail. And then there's no bail on your own cognizance. Or there's also the release into someone else's custody. Now, in this case, they gave him a $1 million bail. Of course, he can't afford that. I think you have to come up with 10% for that, I think, or something. Well, however it is, you have to get a bail bond, you have to come up with some ridiculous amount of money. So he doesn't get a bail bond. Now his wife is home alone. I don't think she stayed there alone. I think she actually they had some family or something come in to help take care of the horses, and she was there to kind of be on her own. So now they take this guy away from his family and his livelihood. And they throw him in jail. And of course, now in the narrative is he's a racist. He's a white racist, old farmer guy out there who shot an immigrant who happened to come across his land. This poor little Pepe who just coming across to pick peaches. He comes across the border and the guy just shot him. He just wanted to work. That's the narrative we're being told. They bleep it out there in a 15-second, rancher, white rancher shoots immigrant charged with murder. I wonder what would have happened the other way around. I wonder if he'd been out there on his porch and he would have gotten shot and killed. I bet we would never have heard the end of that. We wouldn't have heard it all. It wouldn't have even made the light of day at this point. Now, as I'm telling you the rest of this story, I want you to think about another case we recently heard about where someone had something they weren't supposed to have and the way they were treated. Now, so the authorities came out, they took the body away. This guy, he's being considered an indigent. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a lot of income. He's basically surviving on his Social Security check. And so him and his wife, they're just retired. They get this ranch as kind of a hobby, something for their kids to, inherit when they get done. And what ends up happening is he goes to this hearing, and they appoint an attorney for him because if first-degree murder is what they're trying to go after this guy for. Now, he can't afford he's down in an area where there's just not a lot of lawyers. Even if he did know a lawyer, could afford to hire a lawyer, he might have to end up getting a capital lawyer. It goes on and on because it's a capital offense. He's being charged with this thing. He goes before this judge, and the judge is reading to him about everything. He's very polite with the judge. He's very, very accommodating. He's not being belligerent. He's not anything. He's being very respectful. The guy's like 72 or 70, 75 years old or something like that, 74. And he's trying to do his best to be, to explain to the judge, I don't have my reading glasses. I can't really read what you're telling me to read here. So they got him some reading glasses, and he was able to do everything that he needed to do and listen and understood, all this could go back and forth. And finally, this attorney steps forward and basically just asks for him to be released on his own cognizance. Well, this is a pretty big move for a lawyer. Not even to ask the bail to be reduced, but just to be released on his own cognizance. Then she goes on to explain why. She goes into this elaborate story, tells the guy's life story. This is who we're dealing with. This man has never done drugs in his life. He goes on and on about how he's been an upstanding citizen, never been charged with anything, has never had any kind of problem with the law, never had an offense before. She goes on and on to explain how this happened. And then it starts coming out. We don't even know. We have not been told. There's nothing, there's no evidence that the bullet from his gun was the bullet in this man's body. Now, it is very possible that these thugs out there in the wilderness were chasing this other guy down, possibly. Or maybe there was a group of them, rival gang, who knows what it was. Somehow they shot this guy. This is a very plausible theory. In the process, he hears what's going on. He comes out there and they threaten him. He shoots a couple shots. All of a sudden they find the dead body and now they're charging him with murder. But the defense had not even gotten any word whether or not the bullet came from his gun. Of course, they confiscated his gun. So now he doesn't even have that. Is it even the same caliber? Let alone, did it come from the same gun that killed this guy? They don't know anything about the way the guy was laying, where the bullet came from, how he was, the direction from where he was shot. Nothing. Basically, she opened up the whole case and said, you've got nothing on this guy, and he's got the presumption of innocence. And there's no indication he's going to flee. Let him go home. Now, I don't know if they granted him that or not. I do believe that they might have, but all I can tell you is, with the narrative that's out there, the stories, the way the stories get around, him being in prison as a racist white man who killed someone, how do you think he's going to be treated in prison? Just a thought. So, now, one of her arguments was he cooperated fully with police. He had every opportunity to take this guy's body out in the desert somewhere and just bury it. I mean, he's out in the middle of nowhere. It'd be very easy for him to do this. He didn't. He called authorities. Explained to them the situation. He'd already reported or something earlier in the day. Now, there's some vast differences here, but there's also some very strange correlations here. With a particular individual he didn't find stuff in his house that wasn't supposed to be there, but somebody else did, apparently. You can guarantee the guy knew that there was stuff in there. Now, and you know what I'm talking about, Joe Biden. All of a sudden, we find four different locations where Joe Biden has classified documents. Two of them are in a very insecure area. Or unsecured area. The other two, who knows who found them? My lawyers were going through. Why is it the lawyers are always the ones that are... The lawyers and the FBI apparently have all this access. We're supposed to trust them with everything, all of our nation's secrets and all of our top, lawyers would never do anything wrong. Of course. Well, my lawyers were going through my stuff and moving things from my office. Really, you didn't just hire a couple college kids to do that. It's on a college campus. You got college kids fawning all over you who will do stuff for practically nothing for you just to get in, to get an in with the administration. You're telling me that the college kids weren't going through the stuff to move stuff around and they found this top secret classified document folder. And then the lawyers got involved. The lawyers weren't there moving stuff around for him. Okay, just lawyers don't... Two lawyers and a truck, I guess, is what the name of the organization is. So they're out there moving this stuff around. They find these documents. The lawyers get called. Now, the question here is, now, here's what gets kind of sketchy. Knowing the way the Democrats are, they would not hesitate to just shred this stuff. To just suck it up on the inside and just not do anything with it. This, in fact, folks, the Secret Service, the people who protect the president, even during the Obama years, they were cleaning up Hunter Biden's messes for Joe Biden just to protect him. That's the way this stuff works. Because, yeah, there are people like that in the FBI, the Secret Service, and other various agencies that are out there. There are bad cookies. Or people who will just follow orders because that's just what they got to do. And I'm sure sometimes they don't want to do it or they regret doing it. And I get that. Because there's a lot of pressure on them. But it happens. Now, Joe Biden, of course, is supposed to be excused because he's cooperating fully with authorities. And oh, that, out of an abundance of caution, we're going to go ahead and search all of our areas where we have documents. And all of a sudden they find more. Who's finding them? Who is it that's actually looking? My lawyers. Is that, so you're, what? Your lawyers have top secret security clearance? Eyes only documents, and the lawyers are okay to, that's, we can trust the lawyers with that. Because, you know, their lawyers aren't bad. You know, I've never known a lawyer to be, you know, sleazy, Cohen. Yeah. So the differences here are interesting. So George Allen Kelly now is under the presumption of, you're presumed to be innocent until proven guilty. This doesn't look too cool. They're after this guy now. Maybe. Now, the only thing I guess apparently this guy either read a book or was part of a book or wrote a book or was trying to write a book about an Arizona rancher who kind of a similar, the story is very similar to the storyline where this rancher goes up against a drug cartel and it actually happens. You know, he actually goes to war with these people or something goes on. And I guess that's, I don't know if, you know, they're, I don't know. Supposedly they think that the prosecution is going to go after him for this, but say that he is a racist and this, he was just living out some kind of fantasy that he had for this. Well, you know what? It's not illegal to be a racist. First of all, I'm not for it. I'm not for racism. Let me be clear about that. But you have the right to be a racist. You have the right to hate people. You have the right to be stupid. You have a lot of rights, but you should be accountable for your actions. And this is why I don't like the term hate crime. Well, I committed a crime because I loved him. No, you committed a crime because you hate people in general and you love yourself. Or you hate yourself, really, is what... I'm not going to get into psychology. I'm not a psychologist, by the way, either, or a marine biologist. Not that that has anything to do with rodeo clowns. But one time when I had my toaster, I got a speeding ticket. So I had yes, yeah, just weird things like this go on, and it really begs the idea of this. The double standards are just flagrant. And our justice system, our court system is so politicized. And that to me is probably, it's very disappointing to see what has happened with our court system and our, even all the way up to the Supreme Court. You've got a political agenda. They don't just look at the law and read the law, and they're not just the constructionists, they're not the originalists. They want to legislate from the bench. They want to decide and impose their moral ideas on the law. It's a dangerous path. It's where we come up with all the flagrant double standards, ridiculous attitudes. Well, folks, I realize that we are, well, look, my mouse is going to work. Hopefully my mouse works here in a second. Is it going to work? It's not working. The mouse isn't working. That's great. I should probably turn it on. That probably would help. Is it working? Is it going to work? I can't stop the show unless the mouse starts working. But in the meantime, hopefully my mouse will start working before the bumper music stops playing. I have it should be on now. There we go. Kind of get just connected. Whew. I thought I'd just keep going with the show, just forever and ever. It is Wednesday. Two more days. The live show on Friday morning. Make sure you tune in for that. Hopefully it will be around 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm shooting for 8 o'clock, but I'm actually going to shoot for 7:30 because I usually have to aim a little low because I, you know. So I'm going to try for that. In the meantime, thanks for listening, subscribing, for hearing me over the sound of this bumper music, and we'll just pray for each other, pray for the nation. God bless, folks. Have a great day. Have a great week. See you later. Bye.